how this is going to work. We'll probably be here about an hour, or I hope to be here about an hour today. The presentation, I'm guessing, will take about half an hour of that, and then want to give some opportunity for some early kind of opinions and questions on there. So you know, it won't end there. I'll go through the next steps at the end. But we've got a handout of the presentation at the end to give you, and we've got a form for you to fill in, which we're giving you 4 weeks to fill in for you to pray with people, talk to people, get the form back. So then, by the time it comes to when I'm doing Vision and Commitment Sunday in May, I know something of what the feeling is in the church. Okay? So let's go. So St. Luke's leadership team present a vision for our building and future. I think it's really exciting what I'm going to be sharing with you today. I'm really excited about it. I'm really supportive of it. As a leadership team, it's something I think that when we're thinking about a building and what we need to do our building, it's inextricably linked to our future and the future of who we want to be and the future of how we want to reach out. This is very much a leadership team presentation. So just so you, so if I keep saying leadership team, you're sitting there thinking, well, who are these people, this nebulous group? So these are people who are leading ministry in our church. So Gareth Wood from Buildings, Sue Layton, Prayer and Pastoral, Sally couldn't be here today, Louise Wilson, who heads up our children's work, Emma Jones coming in a moment from Vineyard, who heads up our youth work, John and Sharon Murphy, who are heading up our community and welcome, Dorothy Rank, who's Warden and Worship, Sheila Humphrey, who's Deputy Warden, and I will say also St. Luke's Mat Leader, I should have put that on, and then myself and Dan as the clergy. We meet every 2 months or so, and what you're going to hear now is owned by all of us. I'm going to speak for a bit, then Gareth, then Dorothy, and then back to me. We are of one heart and we're of one mind about this. I tried to get out of the presenting today, but it was a leadership team decision that said, no, Andrew, you're senior leader. I think it's really important that the church hears this from you, because then they will know you are behind it, you are for St. Luke's, and you are for the future of St. Luke's. And I want to say amen to that. So that's why you've got me starting off in presentation. A little bit of the history of how we got to this place. You'll remember those consultations round at my house, I don't know, about a year ago, was it now? A year ago. And what we did with this building, and particularly this worship space, came up quite a few times. And my unscientific poll would have said 50% of people were, we've got to do something to our building. And 50% of people were, we don't need to do anything to our building. And we said, as part one of the 12 things we were going to do here at St. Luke's, which we've been working on many of them, we said that come the spring term, I've just about made it, I'm just about hitting the deadline, we would get the church together to discuss this and do this further. In a leadership team meeting in November, we were talking about how we were growing and all these things that were happening. We were talking about St. Luke's Mat and brilliant things. And one of the leadership team went, this is all very well, but when you come into our church, words to this effect, when you come into our church building on a Sunday, the building's just so unattractive and inhospitable. You may not share that, but I'm just telling you how the conversation went. Then, to my surprise, amongst the whole leadership team, it was like domino rally. We've got to do something with our building. And I was surprised at that, because I thought a couple of names up there might be quite resistant to that. I hadn't said anything. It was like domino rally of all the leaders going, we've got to do something with our worship space. We've got to make this place more hospitable and welcoming. So this is the culmination of that. We've been working really hard to get some figures for you, to get some vision. Jane has worked exceptionally hard to do that, and I want to give her credit for how hard she's worked together and pulled things together with support from people. Okay, next slide. Why are we doing this? Okay, I'm going to talk more about the benefits in a moment, but there, have a read of that. To have a more welcoming and flexible space for the church and the community to widen the scope of who we welcome into the building and the amount and style of church activity we can host. There are more things than just this worship space that we need to talk about today in terms of our building, but you will appreciate that because of the way this building is set up, it's a huge space, that we are sometimes quite limited in the flexibility of what we can do, primarily because of the pews. So that's why we're bringing this building consultation to you today. Behind all this is our heart to make disciples in the 21st century, not our heart to make disciples of the 19th century or even the 20th century, but our heart to make 21st century disciples through our building. Okay? This isn't the sole vision of the parish or the church. Remember that. We are to reach and transform our town with the love of Jesus. Our primary vehicle for doing that and going out is our mission area teams. But if we concede that God has given us buildings and we have got buildings, surely we need to use them to his glory and to his benefit and make them accessible to all, especially if we're going to see fruit from our mission area teams and all the other initiatives that we do in church, like Karabuni, Coffee Pot, so forth, and all the things St. James's do. We want there to be a welcoming and flexible space for people as they come in. So we want to increase our opportunity to meet and make 21st century disciples of Jesus through this building. The more people that are welcomed into this building, the more opportunity we have to make relationship with people. We primarily do that outside, but if we're going to have a building, we need to do the building well too, don't we? Okay, it's both and, all right? And as you know, I have said, I'm not in the business of pulling church buildings down. Okay, right, next slide, please. So what are we actually proposing? So Gareth's going to go through the detailed costings of these shortly, but we are proposing a repair of the roof that you know has gone on for some time. Obviously, it means we've got damp coming into the building. We have to put a roof on the building for this building to have a future. Otherwise, we're just going to have water running down the walls. It's only going to get worse and worse. You all know also that our heat escapes like anything because it's going out the top of the building. You know that what is it, 50% of your body heat goes out of your head. Well, it's a bit like that here. We are proposing today a reordering of our worship space. If you don't understand what that term means, a proposal to take out the pews here. As you can see, we're scattered around. We've got a good attendance today because everyone cares so much about this. As you can see, we're scattered around in the pews at the moment. Reordering of our worship space would mean having all of this space available to us flexibly as a church and to the community and things when church and community are doing things together. It would mean having a certain amount of more comfortable chairs, which we would choose together for our Sunday worship, say 90 to 100, where we could meet as family together. I'll talk about that and the benefits in a moment. And more chairs that wouldn't be out all the time, but for the 6 or 7 things we currently need 200 to 300 seats for a year at the moment, we would have chairs that could be stored away in a neat fashion behind in a chair holder thing, all the rest of it. So reordering of our worship space, that's what we're talking about. I'm going to talk about the benefits of that in a moment. We're talking about the creation of a creche room at the back of church here. Turn round and look. We got plans. So for this back wall here, if you can imagine an angled line coming in here, out to about here, 5 metres across here, 2.5 metres here, angled line coming in here so it wasn't sharp, to have a pod, a creche room on the back, soundproofed, a window so people could see out, a door at each end, approximately for 10 to 12 children in creche. If we had that creche room created, big could meet, we could paint and adapt the creche room so they didn't have the big could help us do that. So that's the big room, Kingdom Kids moving at the back. And then also a new PA and AV system. to be quite honest, this is like the roof. That could go any Sunday. It's been amazing, especially what Terry Clark started off and other people have kept going bit by bit by bit by bit over the years, and now we've got spare part there and spare part. Oh, and I think I can just make that work there. It's going to go at some time. By God's grace, it's lasted this long. And we thank him and praise him for that. But it's a new PA and AV system. So the sound and the visuals. So that's what, and as I said, Gareth will show the details of that. Next slide, please. So what are the benefits? What is our heart behind this? What is our heart? Why do the leadership team think this is a direction we need to go in? Well, it's welcome, first off, welcome and hospitality to visitors and to church family across all the areas of improvement. We don't want to be, let's take the roof, we don't want to be cold, we don't want to be wet. I know many of you are stoic and amazing, and you are hardy, characterful people. But why should we have to be like that? Frankly, on there, we can do that in other areas of our life. We don't need to be cold, all right? On there. Think about, I've got to be honest, I know that this is a motive. I came to, Sandy and Steve did 2 hours at the cross last last Good Friday. Come on, get your Christian festivals right. 2 hours at the cross. And for the first time, because I'm up and about all the time, you know, I don't notice it so much, I sat there for an hour on a pew as a reasonably sprightly 41-year-old as I was then. I found it terribly and horribly uncomfortable. I know that's subjective, but just saying there, on this, wouldn't it be good if we could offer that kind of a comfortable seat to both our people that have been here for 80 years and for all the new people that we're hoping God is going to bring us as we reach and transform our community. We need to be able to hear. We need to be able to see, don't we? It's a basic AV and PA. We want to be hospitable. If you come here and you bring a small child and there's no place for them to be during the service, what kind of welcome? I know I'm not coming back on that. Because the trouble is there's other churches in Glossop that do that, isn't there? So you'll go and check them out. That's the thing. Also, it gives a welcome to all three age groups. Second benefit, to provide a space which could be used to develop our existing outreach activities, such as Coffee Pot and others. But that's just an example. I agree with you. Maybe it's great that Coffee Pot's cozy in there at the moment. But if you think anything we run in the back room is limited of growth, we're saying this ministry can grow to 20 people and no more. And I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love the things that we do. But we're saying it can only grow to that because there's no more room for that. If that is the limit of our ambition, then I think we are limiting the Lord. So what we do already, if we had a more flexible space here, we could use on there. But also, it's a greater range of other activities. Okay? So there's all kinds of things. We couldn't have done the Easter Trail here. Many of you have been there. Over 1,000 people have been through St. James's in the last 2 weeks. They've had, because of their building, they have that opportunity. Those people aren't all of a sudden, God spoke to them, there's some of their appetite, they're all not all of a sudden go, do you know what, I'll go and check out St. Luke's on Sunday morning now. They've been in that building and had a welcome from both St. James's and St. Luke's people already. And if they are going to check out a church family, they're going to go and check out St. James's. That's what's going to happen. We're not rivals in that, but the reality is that loads of parish stuff, I want to increase our ability to do things at both churches, to both share it out, but also to increase our capacity. You know that there's just things that just go to St. James's, just because of the way the building is. If we want to do anything smaller and more intimate, maybe with 50 people, you can move the chairs, you can move it all out and have something there and so forth. You know, parish brunch just goes there. Partner events with the local community, they can do meals, they can do alpha, they can do all sorts of things. Okay? That's just the reality. There's so much more scope for us every thing we can do there is another person in. Final one, sorry, on that one. We want to really honour our young people, okay? Having a room for each of them on site. I know sometimes we are able to get places off-site, makes it tricky coming back for communion. Sometimes maybe you might feel that that divorces the feeling of big or whatever, that they are part of this church because they're meeting in another room. I don't know if that's a reality or not, but wouldn't it be great if we could be hospitable to, from everyone to the age of 0 to 14, and hopefully 18 as well, by having rooms for them all in our place. Sorry, next benefit. Also, to help the worship dynamic and for the congregation to meet as family. Okay, often, you might have heard me say this before, I am out here, I'd love it that there were 250 people filling this building. If there were 250 people here on a Sunday, I would stand up here. I might even preach in the I might even preach here. You'd love that, wouldn't you? That would be great. But it doesn't really work with 60 adults, to be quite honest, all dotted around. I want us to be a growing, intimate family. Okay? And don't worry, if it freaks you out being close to people, we could still have a little back row just a little bit further out to give you space, all right? It's okay. Really, I say that seriously. I'm not teased, because I know that some... But generally, what a family feel of worship. What if me or whoever's leading or presiding can be amongst you? What statement does it give me running all the way up here every week? It says, I am separate to you down there. It reinforces even an Old Testament idea of priesthood. I'm coming back to you now. When we can be one and together, it would help our intimacy. And do you know what? We might start off with 90 chairs. The next year, that could be 110. The year after that, that could be 150. And we can grow as we do that. We could experiment with worship in the round. We could have it three ways like that. We've got loads of space for our cramped worship team here. We could build that in. So it would change the worship dynamic entirely. It would entirely change it. New communion table would be fantastic to share that with you. Again, linked to that, mate, to have alternative style of service. I loved it. At Christmas, you did a great Chris Dingle here. It was brilliant. But you're still, we're walking around edges. We're having to bunch all the kids up on a few pews. You can have different zones of the church to do these things. There is a heart from some people here to run an alternative family service. A bit like messy church, which is far more hands-on for families to spend the hour in together doing a variety of things, worship-style things. You can't do that with the pews at the moment because you can't go over there and do this bit and then over there and do that bit and so forth. And finally, I know you're like this. If anyone comes here in a wheelchair, they have to be perched on the end of a row somewhere. If a young mum or young dad comes in with a buggy, their buggy, again, is at the end. Immediately, they're on the margins. They're not in the heart of our community. You won't thank me for pointing you out. Some of you are getting older as well. And to have comfortable seats and more accessible seats could be really helpful to you. We want to be a church for all, not a church for just fit and able-bodied people. We know that. That's just a no-brainer, isn't it? I don't have to comment anymore on that. That's what we want to be, because I know that's your heart. Okay, Gareth. Poor Gareth. He's so determined about this that he's got a migraine, and he's come in. Bless him today. And he's drawn the short straw because, right, you need to remember vision and passion because now's the sums and the maths. We will lead you through this valley of doom and then out the other side to a place of faith and vision again.
I think there's a very good reason why I've been asked to lead this next section talking about the finances. And I think there's... I walk around like royalty, you know. I never have any money on me, so, you know. First thing, if we can move on to the next slide, please. First thing I'm going to raise is talk about the roof. And there's some horrendous figures in what I'm going to be presenting over the next three or four slides. And they're not too bad if you say them quickly. The roof, just to put a little bit of background, I'll try not to talk for too long on these, but I want to add a few comments on these things, just to put a little bit of meat on the bone. The roof has been going on for quite a long time, and for some of you, it might seem like not a lot has been done. I've been involved in trying to sort the roof out for at least 4 years, probably almost 5 years now. And the roof is leaking, for those of you that don't know, and it's leaking, or it's coming out in various places, which seems to say that it's leaking at the top, and it's tracking and coming out in various places. That is causing problems lower down, because then the water drips onto the floor, potentially causing rot on the floor. If we don't do something with the roof, it's going to cause rot in the roof timbers themselves. So we need to, that's a no-brainer. You know, if I'm decorating my lounge at home and my roof is leaking, no point in me putting a new carpet down in my lounge until I fix the roof. So to me, doing the roof is a no-brainer. Repairing the roof, though, is in my lifetime, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The roof has been here for about 105, 107 years. By repairing it properly, it should last another 100 years or so. So it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And to do this, it makes sense to do it properly and to put insulation in there as well, because we've also been addressing the heating, which for many of you might seem like nothing has happened. And we've been trying to address this for the past 4 or 5 years, and I've been actively involved in that with one or two others, again, for the past 5 or 6 years, which might seem like nothing has happened. Anyway, as Andrew has suggested, about 3 years ago now, we employed a heating consultant who, in essence, told us what we already knew, but confirmed that we actually are producing enough heat into the building. The boilers we have are producing enough heat into the building. Some of you might remember a presentation we had a couple of years ago. But we are losing at least the amount of heat we generate. And even if we generated more heat, the building is leaking more heat than we can actually generate. And one of the key things, the benefits that this heating consultant said was, if we were to insulate, and primarily insulate the roof, we would save or reduce our heat loss just by insulating the roof by 40%. So by insulating the roof, we would be better off from a heat perspective by 40%. So in repairing the roof, one of the key things we want to do is put insulation on. Now, all this would be external. There would be no detriment or change to the internal side of the roof. But to do all this comes at a cost. And the cost that we've now had quotes as opposed to estimates, which we've had in the past. We've had a wide range of estimates, and the cheapest, bearing in mind that all the quotes we've had are to the same specification, so it makes sense to go for the cheapest, because all the work should be to the same standard. And the cheapest quote we've had, with VAT, with a contingency, because once they take the slates off, it may just be they find some timbers with wet rot or what, you know, things like that. We're hoping they don't, and we don't think they will, but we need a contingency. Architects' fees and so on comes to about £117,500. It's a lot of money, but there's no point in doing anything else, in my opinion, until we get the roof sorted and it protects what's going on inside. Do you want to talk about what we've got already, or do you want to talk about that later?
These are high numbers. We have got almost halfway there already on everything. Okay, so just hold that in your heart until we talk about that later. Okay. But move on.
Yeah, okay, so moving on to the next thing now. So inside the building, Andrew's suggested about reordering the worship space. One of the key things there is the removal of pews. I'm just going to have my own comment on that as well. I'm one of the people that, and as you know, I was a warden for 4 years until recently. In my heart, I love the pews. And I think they create a wonderful feeling to the aesthetics of the building. But I'm one of these people that is actually at the place now that whilst I love the pews, I personally, and this is to say it's personal opinion, I feel it's the right thing to do to take the pews out. So for those of you that are there thinking, yeah, the pews look great in a church and so on, Just think back to how many cathedrals and wonderful buildings like that have we got in the country that have got pews in? There are hardly any that I can think of. You know, I think taking the pews out to do something like this, that is the right thing to do, even though the aesthetics will change. Personal opinion, but for what it's worth, there we are. So taking the pews out, that would mean changing a few other things. You might have noticed already, you're slightly elevated. The floor levels are different. So we either need to raise the aisle areas or lower the main area, but we need to change the floor and so on. And then once the pews are out, we need to resurface the floor area. So all that comes to just over £26,000. We then still need something to sit on. So we can either all sit cross-legged, we can put cushions and beanbags on the floor, or we can get some chairs. And Andrew suggested we have, in essence, three levels of chairs. Some nice comfy chairs for the majority and average congregation, and other, some other chairs for the occasions when we do have more people. So that's another £14,000 or so. And then the room at the back is going to cost just under £19,000, which isn't bad when you consider that's the building of the room, fitting it out, heating and lighting and so on. But that would give a long-term benefit for the creche and our young children, and also enable them through the window and the AV, the sound, when we talk about that, is to feed that into there as well, so they can participate or at least feel they belong without being excluded physically as well. And then some decoration as well. When all that's been done, to touch up the areas where the church is starting to look a little bit tired as well, because that makes a feel-good factor as well. So all that would cost about £63,000. And then lastly, in terms of the figures, the AV system, you might have heard already this morning, you know, the sound's going a little bit wonky, and this screen in particular is going, and it's held together by elastic bands and a lot of faith at the moment. So we do need to do this, the AV system, and we can do that in a way that befits the changed building and you know, the room at the back, and the way we'd like to adapt the worship area in its many guises. So the new PA system there, about £16,000. The audio visuals, about just over 4.5 there, and the installation of that, and the actual advice, because we've sought professional advice on what is the best way to do a kit out a building of this size. So again, that's about £26,000. So a lot of money there in all those figures. So when we put all that together on this next slide, you can see there that that comes to, sorry? Yeah, okay. So I'm going to come on to Andoited there, but it's a lot of money. But just hang on to, you know, what the benefits are of that, and I'll let Dorothy elaborate on that.
Total. So the roof is the major portion of this. The reorder, £63,090, and the AV bring a total of £206,670. Now, I think it's wonderful that we're almost halfway there, and I know a lot of churches who want to do a reorder. If they were starting not from no money, but from nearly halfway, would be feeling pretty happy about that, and certainly I do. We've got that £90,000 partly from restricted funds, partly from a legacy, and we're going to recommend to the PCC that will be £30,000 put in from the PCC reserves. So the faith target, and I think faith is the key word in this, for us, as the congregation here, is £111,670. Now, there are possibilities of getting a grant. We're applying for a grant which could be up to £40,000, and other sources of money. The church house is rented out at the moment, and that is bringing in a regular income. It might be that people can't give outright, but may, people in the congregation, but may be willing to give alone. And I think you can look at £111,670 in a couple of ways. You can think, well, if that's got to come out of my bank account, then that's a problem. If you're earning £200,000 a year, it seems a lot less than it might be to somebody living on a state pension and so on. But I think we've got to get a perspective on it, and I think the perspective is to be the Lord's perspective. I believe with all my heart that St Luke's has a future, and I think we need to, as God's people, we need to invest in that future. And as I've been thinking and praying about this, the Lord gave me a picture. And the picture was of the World War I trenches, and how the soldiers in those trenches would be sitting for actually quite a long time at times, and then they would have to go over the top and take what was sometimes just a few yards of land, and then back in the trenches, and the other side would come a bit later on and do exactly the same thing and take those trenches back, that land back. And I felt that, I believe that the Lord was saying to me that that is not the future that I want for the church at St. Luke's. A future where we just put our heads over the parapet a little bit and then we regroup. I believe that the Lord is saying we need to go out and take this land, and that he will equip us to do that. I believe he's calling us to reach out. And I want to see us refurbish a building that will be a building for the 21st century. Mission and maintenance are two sides of a set of scales. If we just invest in maintenance, then we might just as well not bother. But if we're interested in investing in mission, then we can really go somewhere. And I found it really sad, actually, recently when there have been a number of things that could have been here, but we simply can't have them. It's been wonderful to see all those children and adults come through the Easter Story Trail. Thursday evening, 85 people came in because they had heard about it. Children bringing their parents back to hear the gospel story. Just amazing. And it just broke my heart to think that we can do it in St. James, but we cannot do it here. And what a wonderful thing it would be to be able to look forward and think, yeah, in 2 or 3 years' time, we could do something as marvellous as that, as well as all the other things that have been started here, coffee pot, Caribbean, and so on, that could really take off with a building fit for purpose. I think it's amazing that we've got almost half the money. And I believe with all my heart that if this is what the Lord's what the Lord wants for us, then that money will come in. There's a verse which I just love in Psalm 50. My parents used to quote this verse to me. And I love the kind of understatement that God speaks out when he says, "The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine." For the people in Israel, the cattle on 1,000 hills would have been an absolutely vast amount. We're privileged to live in an age when we know that those four words that God spoke when he created the world, "Let there be light," those four words are still moving because the universe continues to expand. This is the God we have. He has the resources to do this. And of course, a lot of those resources are in our pockets, in our wallets, in our bank accounts, perhaps even under our beds. But God has given us those resources. I think this challenge is about faith. How much do we trust the Lord to provide for his work? How much do we believe Jesus when he says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against us"? How much do we believe that St. Luke's Church can grow and flourish and serve this community and see men and women, boys and girls, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? How much do we trust God to provide? Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to catch this vision. Let's not just keep to the status quo. Let's not just go on week after week doing the same thing and trying to keep the roof on the walls. But let's step out in faith, grasping what God is offering us, the opportunity to reach out and win people for him.
Thank you, Dorothy. So what are our options? What are our options? What are our next steps? Next slide, please. So, our options, and all of these carry consequences.